He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
This is Volume 5, Number 3, and we are ready to rock and roll. Are you?
Absolutely. Am I ready to rock and roll? But I don't know about that yet, but...
This is SNU. He said, she said. Thank are you awake this morning, dear?
I am awake. I am awake.
Are you ready to deliver the good stuff?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I'm ready to deliver.
Okay, so what's cooking?
Well, I guess I'm on the road again, just like you.
On the road again.
You know, and traveling for work can really destroy your good health because of the food choices and the workout schedules.
But it doesn't have to.
Absolutely. And I know that we've discussed this before in an SNU issue, but it's really worth mentioning again.
How many times do you have to tell kids not to touch things?
How many times do I need this drilled through my head as well? I'm traveling quite a bit now, and I can relate wholeheartedly to this dilemma that people have spoken about. I take a blender with me on every trip and with protein powder, and I shop at a local store for fresh fruit, or I get someone to run out for me.
Sounds like someone else.
Or else I know you've taught me really well. And or else also too, depending on how far I'm traveling, I'll bring my fresh fruit with me. I don't bring the frozen fruit, obviously that would melt.
No, don't bring bananas on airplanes.
Yeah,
they turn black.
And we've learned that lesson. But it really makes a difference in your energy levels to always have that protein shake available because you never know when you're going to eat.
It's a lifesaver.
And when you are traveling, you're on the road, your whole routine gets disrupted. And usually you need to be on the ball and have high energy levels because you're usually trying to sell something or, you know, working with people and you need to be on the ball.
Hey, you're taking a taxi to your hotel. It's 2 a.m. in the morning and you're starving.
Oh, yeah.
You've lost track of time because the time change doesn't apply to you, but it does. And you stop at the 7-Eleven or whatever, and you're looking for your 50 grams of high-quality, non-denatured protein and low-carb meal.
That's really going to happen, isn't it?
I don't think so, dear.
So what do you do when you're really, really hungry? Not you, but what do most people do when they're really, really hungry? Get a bag of chips.
They compromise.
Or they buy a sub sandwich.
And they say, there's nothing around. And
yes,
they're right.
There is nothing around.
This society does not know how to eat for health.
Yeah. And eating in restaurants can also be a major factor for our nutritional needs. So what I order, because people ask me, what do you order when you go into a restaurant? There's nothing to have. So I'll order an omelet. And sometimes an egg white omelet, but I like the yolk. And I order it with spinach or vegetables minus the cheese, no toast or potatoes. Then I'll have like sliced tomato or fresh fruit on the side. And really, that fills me up. And I'll just have a cup of coffee with that too. I like salad.
I like to have a 10 egg white omelet because when you fry eggs and the yolk hits the pan, you create cholesterol oxides.
Yes.
You denature the egg whites, but still it's not bad. And then you stuff that thing full of spinach and goat feta and maybe some tomato.
Listen to this, folks. I remember when we went to a bodybuilding show. We were in Toronto. We stayed at the Royal York Hotel. You ordered this major jumbo-sized omelet.
The way I want it.
$34. Oh, my gosh.
Do you know how many dozen eggs I could buy with that?
But the thing is, it was at the Royal York Hotel.
That's a 5-star hotel.
I just said,
everyone knows they overcharge everybody.
Yes, exactly. But I just said,
it's the experience.
Yeah, that was a Corey Holly omelet if I ever saw one. But nonetheless, soups can also be good for you when you're on the road. But you make sure that you order a soup that's not cream-based or has added white noodles or rice.
We had a good soup recently with our friends from INBA Canada.
Oh.
Remember at the 5-star hotel we went to?
Yes, we did.
And we had a seafood medley.
Yeah, that was really nice.
And I asked, is that a cream broth? He says, no, it's a hot and sour. It's very light.
Yes.
And sure enough, it was exactly what I wanted.
That was great. Then also we order like large Greek salads or large green salads or even a Caesar salad. But make sure when you have the Caesar salad that you order it with no croutons and easy dressing. So these are the salad choices that I use because a lot of times when you have the Caesar salad on the road or other salads on the road, they just a little salad with your dressing, you know. And sometimes I've taken out all the croutons and it ends up to be 2 slices of bread. So you got to be careful. These are the little things that you really want to watch out for, especially if you're on the road for about a week or so.
Yeah, and I just heard recently a comment too from a health expert, and he was talking about the postprandial application of eating. What that means is
the what?
Postprandial. That is measuring things inside of your body after you have taken something in, as opposed to before. Now, if you fast for 14 hours, you basically clean out. So we take a look at your blood and we scan your urine. But if you actually did that immediately after eating what some people eat, you can see the toxicity.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the inflammation. You can see mediators, chemical messengers produced by the garbage, by the refined foods, by the trans fats, by the chemicals that would not normally be present. So really what it comes down to is you're as well as you are after you've eaten the meal. So the quality of the food here relates, because a lot of people have a heart attack after they've eaten this artery closer. Right?
Yep.
This hamburger down the street. Mm-hmm,
yep.
Good. Mm-hmm. But then the guy's laying there.
Exactly.
On the ground.
High sodium, too.
You know, wiggling around like a worm.
I'll also order meat, fish, or chicken with an entree with no starch, which would be breads, buns, bagels, pasta, that sort of thing.
That stuff is dead. No enzymes. Uh-huh. Very acidic.
But I'll have extra veggies on the side. Like, you can order lots and lots of veggies,
which are alkaline-forming, yeah, and loaded with, what, carotenoids and antioxidants, mm-hmm, and enzymes.
Absolutely. So you see that when you're on the road, you can make good food choices. And today, most restaurants do offer whole food menus. You just have to keep the discipline and understand that you must continue to work at your lifestyle program even when you're on the road. And this works for sales representatives and people who are touring and, you know, so anybody.
Everybody.
There's no excuse for this, because I hear it so often. I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. Well,
Now, to be considerate, let's think of something for the ecto. Now, the ecto is not thinking in our terms. He's not going to get fat by eating that bread, those starches that we are eliminating.
Well, we're not talking about fat here. We're not just talking about gaining weight, Corey. We're talking about prevention of disease and energy levels.
But don't ectos need the energy? Don't they need more calories? So when they're at a meal, what would they order when they're looking for those starches and those fats?
Well, they just order anything they want because they can't gain weight for love nor money.
But is that what you'd recommend?
No.
No. So what is a health conscious ecto add to his plate? So wouldn't he choose exactly what you and I have chosen? But also, he's going to bring in those starches, but he needs to be health conscious and focused on quality carbs. Correct?
You can get yams, you can get wild rice.
That's right. The dark, the black.
Yes, exactly.
Stay away from the white as a general rule.
Not a lot of, I don't know any restaurants that
I know. Except for cauliflower and egg whites, stay away from the whites.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's the rule.
And I don't know any restaurants that really offer whole grain.
What about lentil soup?
Yeah, lentil soup.
What about peas, beans,
and
right?
Legumes.
So
absolutely,
those are the kinds of extra low glycemic starches,
yes,
that an ectomorph, the lean, mean machine, needs to bring in to compensate for their high metabolic rate.
Absolutely.
So not all of us are worried about our weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, they are too, but they're worried about not having any.
They're worried about gaining weight.
Isn't that a dichotomy,
it
huh?
Is, yeah,
too much,
sure
too
is.
Little.
So when you're on the road, you still can make the right choices. So
no excuses.
No excuses.
You own your excuses, people.
That's right.
So
some of the excuses that you and I've heard over the years are pretty pathetic.
Yeah, at least if you come up with an excuse, make it a good one, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at least try and sell it to somebody.
But you know, when you and I have gone on the road traveling on a holiday or something, we do go, when we've been down to some of these little pit stops, they have no raw food on the menu. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. A truck stop. We were driving in northern United States.
Quite a few of them, actually. We go like, holy smokes, there's no raw food on this menu. Everything's cooked.
We stop for breakfast and there's no fruit.
Yeah.
No fruit in the entire restaurant
of
any kind.
We were just like boggled. But nonetheless, there you have it. Good luck, folks, when you're on the road.
Okay. So that was great, dear. Let's get into reviewing and talking about our last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Mr. Nelson Narciso. Nelson spoke on acid alkaline, which was really, really interesting.
Huge, huge, huge.
Really, really interesting. And he just has this voice, and the way he explains things is just so easy to understand.
He's a good teacher.
Very, very good teacher. Nelson also is a Reiki practitioner, I believe, which is like a hands-on healing. And you know that I have my Reiki 1 level.
Psychic healing.
Okay, he is totally into education for the territory sales reps, managers, and of the health food industry. So hopefully we'll hear more from Nelson educating the world in sports nutrition, health, and fitness. And I'd like to thank Nelson for his informative interview.
And hats off to Norm Daniels of Body Plus for having a guy like Nelson on board.
Absolutely.
Shouldn't every company in this industry have an educational advisor to train their staff, to give seminars and to represent products and to drill and raise the standard of knowledge.
And also, too, because there's always those questions that come up, you know, the ones that you just, like one of the sales representatives just can't answer.
And you know what I just thought of? What a wonderful opportunity. Why not, as a CSNA, why not think of yourself and approach other companies as an educational advisor? Why not go out there and say, I have just become certified and I've gone through this course and now I can offer you as a consultant my ability to teach your staff, your retailers, right, and your sales reps.
Absolutely.
So there's another benefit,
yep,
of being certified.
Yep, absolutely. But also, too, the beauty of it is having someone like that on board is there's always somebody that you can count on that's going to find the answer for you, which raises the bar on everybody's understanding. Because of those questions, sometimes you get these questions and you're going, ooh, gee, I don't know the answer to that one. So it's always nice. And you're busy. Maybe you're too busy to find out what the answer is. So it's nice that you can count on this education director to give you the answer to that question.
Yes. And it also is handy to have a little laptop computer by your side that has wireless internet. Oh, so you can just plug into Google and find the answer instantaneously.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice, huh?
Well, why not equip all your sales reps with little mini laptops? I saw one at Costco the other day.
That's right.
It was like 5 inches long and wide, and you can carry this thing. Brilliant. Wireless technology, yep, satellite.
It's
you can access information anywhere, anytime, on the beach.
On the beach.
Sounds good to me.
Might get sand in it, though.
Well, there's one that's sandproof, but it's cost an extra $100.
Anyways,
okay, that was great.
Nelson.
Thanks to Nelson. And my dear, who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Mrs. Debbie Perry.
Oh, Debbie.
Yes, Debbie is a former distance runner turned triathlete. She's a two-time All-American age group triathlete and earned a spot on the 2005 U.S. National Age Group World Championship team. Whoa. Debbie has been a competitive athlete and or coach for over 20 years. Her and her husband, Guy, own Salt Lake City Running Company for the last 10 years. She's a Colgan Power Program strength trainer. She's a USA triathlon coach and a certified sports nutrition advisor.
And she is a graduate. And congratulations to Debbie for graduating, getting through that course. And I do remember on my way to the Power Program camp at Salt Spring Island with Michael, and sitting there waiting for the float plane to come in. And who should walk in but this young girl, this beautiful girl with a great body, looked like she was fit and in shape, and she had this incredible sparkle in her eye, and it was Debbie. And we met for the first time, and she said, "You're Corey Hawley." And we had a great connection, and we became great friends, and she's gotten through the program now, and she has moved forward. She's now teaching,
yep,
and fulfilling her dreams, and you can imagine the information that she is able to dispense at that Salt Lake Running Company that she and her husband manage and own.
That's right. That's
wouldn't you want to go to her if you're a runner?
Absolutely.
You know, knowledge of fitness and nutrition is the combination,
right,
that people need,
right,
to maintain that ability and performance standard for life.
Absolutely. So we're really looking forward to Debbie's interview.
That'll be great. So, dear, the time has come, for your hot topic. Let it come forth.
My hot topic this month is, how do you deal with disappointment? And disappointment in the dictionary says to fail to satisfy the hope, desire, or expectation of. And I'm really sure that each of us have had our share of life's disappointments. Nonetheless, how does one learn to cope with disappointment? Now, I'm not speaking of high expectations, but of contracts being broken, relationships torn apart, or even, get this for example, going to a restaurant that strictly offers prime rib, and you're so excited to dine out at this place, then there's no prime rib left on the menu. That's disappointment. Now, were my expectations too high? I don't think so, because I was told and they've promoted that they serve prime rib. And I know you're looking at me and you're thinking, okay, Corey, what do you have to say about that one?
Well, no, I agree. I think that when something is being sold and offered and promoted and you actually stop and park your car and go in because you saw the sign or you saw the advertisement and then you go in, you can get excited about the anticipation of eating a certain type of food, right? Now, I would have chosen something maybe other than prime rib.
I know. I just thought I'd say that. But
however, we're just using that as an example.
As an example, right? Because I think everybody can relate to that. And
absolutely.
How many times have you and I gone into a restaurant and got at a particular thing, and it's not there? And that's a little bit, I mean, that this.
And I can think of things besides food that I would be disappointed in.
But
getting.
I am an endomorph, and you know my world is evolved around food.
Yes, it's true.
So what does a person's word mean in this day and age? Where is the integrity and the loyalty to a partner, family member, business associate, and yada, yada, yada?
Word means nothing today.
Yep.
But it did, and it still does among some. And I'm asking everyone out there, what does your word mean to you? What is it worth? Yep. Is it your life? Is it your bond? Is it a contract? Mm-hmm. Or is it a verbal declaration that means nothing to nobody? It's just an evaporation that people forget. And whatever it is you said is meaningless and worthless. Hello, that means you have no integrity if that's how you feel about yourself.
And when you, you know, have these disappointments in life, it's hard just to let it go and put on a happy face. I guess this is why so many people are in the court system suing each other or on antidepressants or have ill health. I can only say that through my own experiences, and yes, my friends, I have had my share of life's disappointments. What I do is I take a good long look at the situation, and there are times that my cortisol levels rise above the roof. Right, Corey? You know that. Which is unhealthy, but it is a coping mechanism. And eventually,
it's a natural consequence of the experience.
Exactly.
But control within, that's the key.
So, you know, sometimes you need to just bite the bullet because there are situations that you just cannot change and are out of your control.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Exactly. And the wisdom to know the difference.
And the courage to change them if I can.
Exactly.
Where's my prime rib?
So what do we learn from this disappointment, I ask myself. So I say to myself, go over, go under, or go through, but never give up. Calm down. It's not worth the aggravation. And at the end of the day, who really cares in the big scheme of things? I'm going to eat filet mignon instead of prime rib.
There you go. And my alternative is drugs, lots of drugs. So those of you who live in a chronic state of disappointment, get on the drugs,
exactly.
And they will help you endure life.
So I guess it's all about the attitude that we choose to have. It doesn't mean that there hasn't been an injustice done to you, but you know, that's life. And the only one who doesn't have disappointments are those who are in the grave. And I'm not ready to go there yet, so I'll just have to persevere.
So what are you saying, dear, that disappointment is inevitable if you're alive?
So. Yes. Well, it's how you cope.
We can control how we respond to a situation, but we need to have the ability, the wherewithal inside of us, the power and the strength inside of us. It comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. So these things coming from the outside are interpreted by us. Do you have the staying power? Do you have the fortitude? Do you have the strength? Do you have the capacity to cope? So what are your expectations like?
Well, but I mean, okay, what I'm saying here is, let's say you got a contract and you've signed the contract and everything's yes, 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 and then this contract doesn't go through.
I've heard some people say you should expect that contract to be broken.
Yes, exactly.
So that you're not disappointed.
Yes.
You're not frustrated.
Exactly.
Don't expect anyone to live up to high expectations in life.
I just really
It's hard for an optimist. It's hard for a positive person.
But it's not that I can't move on in my life and you have to accept it, but you know, it's not easy.
And you get older and more mature and you're wiser.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's harder on the young people, the naive person who's idealistic.
Yes.
And
you know,
my goodness, doesn't life flatten us out?
I'm a little idealistic at times, you know, and you know what? It's not so bad to be a little idealistic.
No, not at all, dear, because idealism is almost like an art form. To be able to see things as they should be, but to be able to accept things as they are. Mm-hmm. That is a wise person.
Yeah, exactly. And there you have it. That's my hot topic, folks.
A wonderful hot topic, dear. Something to think about. And so, to turn off the key and the ignition in the car, what is your final word?
My final word is by Charles Swindoll. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitudes toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it.